few weeks ago that we had not. I'm so sorry. Am I doing something wrong?
I don't think so.
Okay. So there's some questions that we had not gotten to that I want to get to. And just kind of go through really fast. One question, there's no question that's a dumb question, so I'm going to maybe tempt to snicker at some of these. But they're good questions, I think. What someone asked, you know, what about animals? What teaches them to have sex? And, you know, that's a good question, but I'll tell you this. All I know is what I know from biology class, thank you, and is that they are, animals operate on instinct. And they just, no one has to teach them. It just comes very natural. It just happens. And what's interesting to me about that is it kind of goes into exactly what we taught you guys, I think, the very first week. And that is that we got to remember that God created sex. It was His idea. It's not dirty. It's a good thing. When it's done the way He planned for it to be done. And the fact that animals instinctively engage in that shows me that it was His creation, His idea. But we are not animals. So whatever you do, don't model your plan for sexual purity through animals. Animals are weird. They have no moral guidelines for their way of doing sex. All right. I think we answered this last week, but I want to bring it up again. What age is it safe? With some of the questions someone answered, I'm pretty sure we can still answer that. But I would have just hit it again because I was so glad someone brought this up. Again, I think what I explained before is that culture asks that question. Our society asks that question. We say, that's a bad question because it's not a bad question that you ask. It's a bad question that culture has asked us to ask. They have programmed us to talk about, well, it's not an issue whether or not we have sex before marriage. It's an issue of how do we do it safely, and what age is it safe to do that? And the truth is, the answer is very simple. According to God's word, what age is it safe? The night after your wedding, that's when it becomes safe. And for some people, that's 21. For some people, that's 28. For some people, that's 31. For some people, that's 24. So there really isn't an age issue as much as it is, hey, I am married, and now it's safe. And to do it before marriage is unsafe. It can result in sexually transmitted diseases. It definitely can result in pregnancy. And it will definitely result in separation from God and in torn relationships and broken hearts. It's the best succinct way I know to answer that. This one we won't go heavily into, but someone actually wrote, is abortion wrong? And I like that question. We need to hit on that. I would say yes. It involves the killing of unborn babies. That can be debated. There's even Christians who debate that a little bit. I think it's possible to be a very devout, strong Christian and have, you know, some other ideas about possibilities of abortion being okay in certain scenarios. I think that's a possibility. But we'll save that for another lesson, for another teaching time. But I would say unequivocally in my mind, in my heart, that it is wrong. Someone actually wrote, what is sex? And that's a very honest, good question. But it's engaging in utilizing the question. It's like some people want to separate the different types of sexual activity as this is not sex, but this is sex. Obviously, the obvious answer is having sexual intercourse. When a guy and a girl have sex together, when they actually join together physically, and they obviously use their genitals to do that. And I don't think I have to go into detail to explain that further with you. But some people, you probably heard the terms oral sex before, want to say, well, that's not sex. That's just something that people casually do, and that's okay. And I would say that is sex as well. Don't be fooled. Don't be programmed otherwise. There's a term that I'll throw out to you guys called technical virginity. Technical virginity is a term where, well, you know what? We haven't gone all the way. We haven't, and I'm going to use a word here, and I'm sorry, you are middle school, you all need to know this. I know it may be uncomfortable and awkward for me to bring this up, but what they're saying there is unless the guys private part goes inside the girl's private part. Oh, as long as we don't do that, then we're safe. We technically are still virgins. But people will do everything else but that one thing and try to say that, hey, I'm pure, I'm pure. And I would say, watch out. That is what's being pushed, right? That's what other friends, that's what even other Christian teenagers are coming up with, to try to maintain that technical status of virginity. But we didn't do that, but yeah, I know I've done a lot of other things that weren't right. And I would say, beware, beware, man. That will still result in that broken heart. And contrary to what others will tell you, those things can still result in the transmission of disease. Oral sex, where someone uses their mouth with someone else's private parts to bring pleasure, that can result in disease. Still, a lot of people would say, no, that can't happen. Absolutely, it is happening. It's scientifically proven. There are cases of that happening out there. So someone wrote a good long question about the having heard on the news where a kid who was a 13-year-old teenage girl was pregnant, and that they were asking on the news how the boy will financially take care of the child, and they were wondering, what does that all mean? And it's a good question. I mean, you can become pregnant at that early of an age. And what that basically means is, how in the world can you raise a child and be responsible with a child at that young of an age? Shoot, I can't even remember. At that age, I don't think I picked my clothes up off the floor and was responsible with something as simple as that among a child. So that, again, plays into a reason for abstaining until marriage. Why did God choose for sex to be this way? That's a good question. And to have sex the way He has planned for it to be done? That's a good question. I really don't know exactly why He wired us the way He wired us. Even formed us physically the way He formed us. I do know, by experience though, that in the context of marriage, it is a beautiful thing to be celebrated. But in the context of where you guys are, where you will be over the next 5, 6, 8 years, it can be very difficult. The temptation can be strong. And sometimes you'll be like, Lord, why did You make us this way? This is hard to withstand the temptation. But God can help you. He's there for you. Why do teenagers at a very young age have sex? I think the temptation, the sexual messages are everywhere. They're in your music. They're in anything you watch, movies. Your peers are talking about it. We're so inundated with sexual images and messages that are contrary to God's way that I think that it's very difficult for teenagers to overcome it. The last question, which leads right into what I'm about to give you on your sheet there. How does a person my age overcome sexual hormones in a world full of sexual ways and messages? What a great question. How do you overcome this? Get your pencils ready. Write some few things down in these blanks, all right? These are 5 steps towards sexual purity. You ready? First step is this. Know your standards. Know your standards. We'll move these things real fast, so stay with me. Here's the thing. Now is the time to decide what your standards are. You don't wait until you're in the middle of a temptation in the fire where you have this opportunity to either engage in some type of sexual activity or you have to walk away from it. Don't wait until you're in that situation to set your standards. You got to know them now. That's why we're doing this. We're trying to help you set your standards right now to say, okay, I remember back in March of 2009, I set my standard. I will wait until I'm married. And then when you're 14, 15, or 16 and you're in that situation and there's a guy, girls pressuring you, you already know your standard. You've set it in stone, you've made it clear, and it's going to be easier for you to withstand that temptation. So know your standards. Second one is this one. Make your standards known. Don't just know your standards. Make them known to others. I love this one. This is so cool. Here's the thing. Reputations, guys, are huge, aren't they? You become known for things in your school, among your friends, among the cliques that exist in school. You become known for something. And people will treat you based on that reputation. Here's the thing. The more people know your standard about sexual purity, the better off you are. And for some reason, I always tend towards the girls here. It's like when your standards are known, girls, It's like you're carrying a sign that says, oh, I'm pretty awesome, but you better stay back when it comes to the sexual stuff. Back off. It's like you're carrying a sign that says, easy, with a circle and a slash through it. I'm not easy. I love that. You end up getting, here's the thing I tell you guys, again, this is one of the girls. You get what you advertise for. If I place a billboard saying, man, you know what? Look at me, I am a huge hot dog lover. I love hot dogs. I walk around with a Skyline shirt on all the time. Then I'm probably going to draw people wanting to sell me hot dogs. But if I walk around trying to be all sexual, wearing very skimpy clothes, if I were a girl, you're basically advertising, hey, you may have a chance with me sexually. And that's the kind of guy you end up bringing into your circle. Yeah, how you doing? And all they want to do is move towards a sexual relationship with you. And that's the kind of guy you get. And you don't want that necessarily, but sometimes we advertise for that because we don't let our standards be known. Let it be known to your friends, to everyone in your school. Guys, same for you. And some of that, I love what we was talking about, locker room talk. I know exactly the kind of talk that guys have. I know how to, I know the kind of conversations that happen outside in the hallways and lockers, by the lockers, and definitely in the locker room and when you're on a team. I'm here to tell you, if you let your standards be known, they won't try to bring you into their crazy, weird stuff. And I love what Kelly was saying. Sometimes you may lose cool points doing that. You may catch a little green point. But I also tell you this. They may not say it. They may not be the loudest people. But there'll be a ton of people who completely and utterly respect you for your standards as well. The bad thing is they're usually not the ones coming up running to you. Hey, I respect your decision to maintain sexual purity until you're married. I mean, it tends to not be what happens. I had people come up to me at my 10-year high school reunion talking stuff like that. And I wanted to say, I was like pumped that they would say stuff like that to me, but I wanted to say, man, I wish I'd known that while I was in school with you. That would have encouraged me, and maybe I could have said some stuff back to you, and you would have kind of had the same standards. You know, they appreciated and respected my standards, but they didn't always embrace them. Let them be known, guys. Let it be known. Third thing, choose wisely. Choose wisely. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, you are not the same as those who do not believe, so do not join yourselves to them. Good and bad do not belong together. Light and darkness cannot share together. Guys, you need to choose wisely your actions, obviously, but also need to choose wisely who you're going to date, who you're going to go with. If you know that someone is sexually active and they want to go out with you, think about that for a little bit. Do you really want to join yourself with someone that's probably going to move you in that direction or try to? Here's another question I would ask. Someone who doesn't have the same standards or doesn't have, for those of you who have faith in Christ, you put your faith in Him, and you have an opportunity to date someone who absolutely has no faith in Christ, where is that going to lead you? Where is that going to take you? Choose wisely, guys. Sometimes just making that right choice, not putting yourself, and here's the fourth thing, it leads right into this, avoid sexual situations. It's all about not putting yourself in the situation, in the circumstance, where you're going to be tempted to do that. I know a lot of girls, I'm sorry I'm picking on the girls today, guys, but I'm picking on you because I want so bad to protect you from these temptations. But I can't tell you how many times I personally, as a youth minister, just felt brokenhearted because I've seen a girl go from 8th grade to 9th grade. Cute little 8th grade girl in the youth group goes to 9th grade, and then these juniors and seniors decide they want to try to go out with them. And it is so flattering when an upperclassman is coming and he wants to walk you to your class. He wants to let you wear his class ring. He wants you to wear his jersey. I mean, that stuff is cool stuff. We see that on Disney Channel. We're like, oh, yes, whatever. I'll wear your jersey. I mean, it's like a dream come true, and it feels so good. But I'm here to tell you, 9 times out of 10, if you're a freshman and that guy is a junior or senior, especially a senior, that guy is way more interested in something else other than your personality and your academic status. Are you reading me?
Yeah.
If you're with me, shake your head real hard. And girls, you hold to your standards. Those guys are junk to me. And you guys don't become that kind of junk. Don't fall to that temptation that these guys say, well, that's what we do. That's what they like. That's what we're about. Some things we're guys. Man, you become guys that protect these girls. Hey, you're out to protect their hearts, protect their standards and their faith. Chivalry, it shouldn't be dead. We should be knights, princes in God's kingdom that says, okay, I look at you girls and you're pretty and you're awesome and I want to go out with you, but I will protect your standards and I will bring out the best in you. I will make sure that your faith in Christ is your top priority, not me and not my urges. That's what I want to be held to, guys. Last thing, my favorite one, make Christ your most important relationship. Make Christ your most important relationship. Matthew 6:33 says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Seek first his kingdom. Guys, if Jesus is your most important relationship in your life, it's going to make all your other relationships maintain purity. And I tell you, I'll be honest with you, the times that I was most tempted and the times that I failed most miserably in this area were the times when I realized that that relationship was more important to me than my relationship with God. As soon as I got those out of order, that's when I was tempted to become sexually involved. That's when I was tempted. All our love songs talk about, I want to give my whole self to you. I want to give my whole self to you. There's only one person you should be giving your whole self to, and that's Jesus Christ. If you make Christ your most important relationship, you will be able to withstand temptation in this area. Here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to pray. We went a little bit long today, so we're not going to sing our last song. Thought for the week is this. Sexual purity is possible. I don't care what you say. Man, I'm just tempted. It's in my music. It's in everything. It's all around me. The images are all around me. Don't let anybody tell you that you can't do it. Don't let anybody tell you that everybody is doing it. You tell them, no, no, no. Not everybody is doing it. I count. I'm a statistic, and I'm not doing it. It is possible. Not only is it possible, it is strongly possible. But it's up to you to make the choice. Here's what we're going to do. For our invitation is simply this. I'm going to have a word for any question. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, I forgot to give you a plate. The Joseph principle. Let me quickly tell you that. I'm sorry, I forgot. Blew right by that. The Joseph principle, quickly, the story of Joseph. He was a high-ranking official in Egypt. He was the second-hand man to the king. Listen up. He was the second-hand man to the king. You know what happened? He was in charge of all the king's affairs. All of his affairs, he was in charge of. He trusted him with everything. But there were times when Joseph was in the palace, and there was one other lady in the palace with him. And you know who that lady was? The king's wife. No, no, no. Different story. Alright. So imagine you are Potiphar was his name. Potiphar was his name. And you're Potiphar's wife, and I'm Joseph. She came on to Joseph, was demanding that he go to bed with her. At one point, grab this for me. At one point, this is what she was getting aggressive. It's in the Bible. Read it. The book of Genesis. If you don't know, look in the index and look up Potiphar. Potiphar's wife. You know what he did? Here's the Joseph principle. What do you do when you're in this situation? And you could be in this situation. You know what you do? Hold tight now. She was wanting it, right? So he just like rips his shirt off and runs. She's left holding his shirt. It's in the Bible. This girl was aggressive. Guys, watch out for these girls. It's not a dream come true. You run from those girls. The Joseph principle says this. When in doubt, turn and run away. Run away. Sometimes you just got to run away. All right? I told my Molly, who will be in youth group next year. You know what I told her? I told her this. She will get to be on a date alone with a guy at the very earliest, 16. And that only when she has a license. with no restrictions of being able to drive by herself. Because here's what I told her. I said, as soon as the guy comes close to doing this, as soon as he comes close to doing this, you do this, throw him out of his car, you turn the key, and you take his car home to daddy. We have a new car until his parents come and get it. You guys do the same thing, all right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray. Here's the invitation. I got an invitation, a response. I always have a response. We're not going to do our response to you, man, because we're running so late. Yeah, sorry about that. My response is this. Here's your response. If you're ready to take a stand and be a part of the purity ring ceremony next week, you're like, I'm doing that next week. I'm standing before those people upstairs. I'm going to tell them I'm making a commitment. If that's you, after I pray, meet me right up here for just like 2 minutes. All right? Everybody bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Father, you're awesome. Thank you for teaching us today about how to maintain sexual purity. God, as we leave this place, help us to remember what you've taught us. Help us to stand strong. God, with your help and your power within us, there's no temptation that can have us. Father, thank you for these teenagers. Protect them, God, from those temptations and the devil's schemes that wish to take away their innocence and their purity. Father, may they withstand it with your help. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, you be dismissed. If you're going to be a part of the purity ceremony, make it here. Give a blue card. Make